chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. We have been in the middle of opening those seals. Jesus, the one who is the only one worthy that had to be found as the one who can take the scroll and then break those seals. This morning we're going to look at something that may be a little bit challenging for you. Well, I hope every Sunday is challenging for you. And we're going to look at something which I titled, When God Makes the Announcement. Sorry, Ray, it's not going to be you this time. It's going to be God who's making the announcement. And we're going to begin reading in verse 12 and finish the sixth chapter all the way till 17. I look when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand. We could take just these verses and then elaborate on it, but I want to get a parallel verse in first, which is found in the Old Testament. Go with me to the book of Joel. Joel is a book, has a lot to say about the same thing what John was able to write down. And in chapter 2 of Joel, in the one verse, he's talking the exact same thing what John is telling us here in the sixth chapter. This is what he says. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Notice the word there. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. In other words, God is making an announcement to the entire world from heaven. When he will turn the sun into darkness and the moon into blood, that the worst is yet to come. That's the announcement he makes. And this is what John saw here. He saw the announcement being made, and everything happened before the great and awesome day, or what the Bible sometimes calls the terrible day of the Lord. And for those of you who maybe follow revelatory teachings on the internet and wherever you get it from, there is so much out there. So I'm going to challenge you this morning a little bit. Yeah, you need to be challenged. Because as I studied this particular scripture, I went for 20, 30 hours on the internet, which is an abomination in its own, but I did it for the right purpose. I wanted to go and research what is actually presented by scholars, well-known names in the Christian community, about these scripture verses. And I was astounded by what I found. And I am not going to bore you this morning with all the things I found. Because how many of you know, it is not really important what other people say. It is only important what God says. When he makes the announcement, that's what we want to hear. And we want to know what the announcement means. So sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get challenged. I have been studying books and good teachings and commentaries and the Bible, obviously. And sometimes we don't get the full grasp of the meaning. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You get a hold of, but not the full hold, until the Holy Spirit chooses to reveal it to us. And obviously, until that day, sometimes we go and look desperately for answers, and we can't find them. But here is what I want to recap this morning. All the things you've already learned about the book of Revelation as we went through it so far, keep that always together as a unit. Don't separate it, because how many of you know there's only one book of Revelation? It all goes together. And it's the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we all have already learned. And when the sixth seal is broken here, God makes that announcement that the terrible day of the Lord, which he has said to the Old Testament prophets for many years, is actually at hand. And it will come upon the whole earth. It is interesting when you, from an American standpoint, look at all these things and you go to the internet, you will find so much stuff where those prophetic teachers only look what they believe happens in where? In the United States of America. Well, how many of you know that's just a sliver in God's plan? He's got the whole world here in view, and he's not going to redeem just this little planet over here. He's going to redeem everything. As a matter of fact, his entire creation he's going to redeem. Paul tells us in Romans that the entire creation is moaning and groaning under what man has done, bringing sin into the world, until it will be released from that. It is crucial for us here to notice these little details, which we sometimes overlook, especially in the time we're living in. Let me, before we get into the details, let me ask you a question. How many of you have heard of the four blood moon there right now happening? It's all over the internet. Well, let me burst your bubble for a second. Okay, so hold on. When these things came out the first time that the four blood moons are always falling on Jewish holidays, well, let me burst that bubble. Every blood moon is on a full moon. And what do you think where the Jewish holidays are? Every Jewish holiday is on a full moon. The reason is when God gave the Jewish people the calendar, they don't go with the sun, they go with the moon. So for those of you who have not never studied anything about how these things happening, well, Dave would know a lot about the stars. You love that stuff, don't you? But I give you a very simple teaching that will help every one of you, youngest and oldest, to understand what I'm saying. When a blood moon occurs, it's happening because, look at my hand, if this would be the sun, and the earth is where I'm standing between, and the moon is on this side, when the sun hits the earth will give up a shadow. And the shadow will hit the moon. When that shadow, the earth hits the moon will turn blood color, red. It's the shadow of the earth that makes that happen. Give you a case in point. In the 21st century we are living in, there will be 85 times where this blood moon will occur. You can look it up yourself. So it's not an unusual situation. Yes, it is not common that four are hitting back to back on Jewish feasts. But how would you expect it? The Jewish feasts are moon feasts. There's one thing, one problem with that. By the way, the last one, I believe, is in September sometimes. The problem with that is that when God speaks, when he makes the announcement, he's not just talking about the moon. He's talking about what? The sun as well. Very important detail to know. Because the sun is not going to be blackened at the same time the moon is going to be darkened unless God does something. Well, that is where God steps in. And we're going to look at that a little later. So I'm not going to give you lessons on stargazing. I just give you what God announces. He said that there will be, when the sixth seal open, a great earthquake. And that earthquake is the announcement. People sent me books. People give me information about books they've read. Go and read it. Now, many times I do. I had a book on my desk for a long time, sitting probably for 3 months. It just came out 4 months ago. And I didn't want to read it. But then the Holy Spirit said, you better read it. So I read it. And the book is called The Final Warning. And it was very interesting what I came across in that book. I give you a quote because that is so important. Can we put it up? This is what the author of that book says. He says, It is a scientific fact. That's a strong statement. How many of you would say that's a strong statement? It is a scientific fact that an actual star is virtually a giant nuclear reactor. Now, how many of you would have to say, I have a little problem with that interpretation? Chernobyl exploded over half a mile into the sky and fell back to Earth, literally burning like a lamp. Ergo, Revelation 8 has been fulfilled. This is modern day biblical interpretation. Not much biblical in there. Why I'm using this is to tell you there is nobody on this planet who can interpret the Bible as good as the Holy Spirit. And you and I need to spend time with the Lord, not just because it is a crucial time to live in, but because there is so much going on in this world. When you tell me this is a scientific fact, I need to have data. I need to have something to prove. A scientific fact means that you are able to repeat the same feat to prove that it happened that way. Then I have data. How many of you like to say, I don't want to really scientifically prove that a reactor can explode and the 12,000 ton lid, which I normally put on it to hold that stuff inside, blows a half a mile up into the air. I really don't want to scientifically redo that one more time. But we cannot make those kind of statements. The reason, obviously, is the article goes on that Chernobyl in the Slovakian or Slavian language, which is also a mother language of Russia with a different dialect. Chernobyl means wormwood. And what does the Bible say? There's a star falling from heaven called wormwood. But when the Bible says a star falls from heaven, how many of you would have to say, probably falls from heaven? I think God probably knows that this is what's happening. So let's stay through when we look at these kind of things. Because it is a big, big problem. In the same book, it says that most of the trumpets have been fulfilled in World War I and in World War II. Because when we dropped the atomic bombs in World War II, that fulfilled Revelation. Well, there is no such thing found in the book of Revelation. What I do find, however, in the book of Revelation, is that there will be a great earthquake. And how many of you would have to say, probably God is in control of that one. He's going to shake the earth. Earthquakes have always happened. Some famous ones, when Jesus died on the cross, how many of you have ever read in the Bible what happened? An earthquake, the earth shook. It was locally where it shook. By the way, when Jesus died on the cross, some other things happened, which we're going to look at briefly because they are significant before he returns. They're very significant because the day given here in the Bible is actually called the wrath of the Lamb of God. There's a specific period of time when that wrath is going to be poured out. So, how many of you have ever heard of Saddam Hussein? I know he's not alive anymore. How many of you know what the word Saddam means? It means destroyer. That's what it literally means, destroyer. So what have most people got so excited about Saddam Hussein interpret the Bible to say? Saddam Hussein is the Apollyon in the book of Revelation because he is the destroyer. So you can see how we can read things into it. And then they say, well, before Saddam Hussein, for those of you who have just were born, you haven't seen it. But before Saddam Hussein retreated his troops out of Kuwait, when he invaded Kuwait and the Allied forces came in and pushed him out, he had the capacity to put over 700 oil wells on fire. And if you've seen pictures on TV, it was black. What else would you expect? Millions of barrels of oil were burned every hour. And it took every expert on the planet to go and put those things out. And so the soldiers who came back from the United States Army told us that the daylight was actually pitch dark. They couldn't see anything. Some people described it as a living hell because they saw all these fires and this black smoke. Needless to say, the sun darkened because it was blocked by these huge plumes of smoke. Can we interpret that to be what God says here? I don't think so. Because for you and I, we know the time. God is dealing here with a very brief period of time when he is bringing judgment upon this world. And that judgment, by the way, is preparing us for restoration. We know that the nuclear problem in Chernobyl happened in 1986. For those of you, that's almost 30 years ago. So that could not possibly be this. Kuwait, the invasion of Kuwait, we know that happened many years ago. So we have to be careful when we interpret it, because when we interpret it in light of today's headlines, tomorrow's headline will be the world mocking those who interpret it that way, because they can honestly look at us and say, why in the world did you fearmonger the people? It never happened. Why should we believe in your God? So it's not a matter of me personally, privately reading something into it. It is actually standing up for God Almighty, because how many of you know God is the only one who knows the future? The only one. And so we need to be very, very careful. Is this world in trouble today? What do you think? Yes. Oh, absolutely. Are we going to see big trouble ahead for this nation? Absolutely. No nation on the planet ever got away with what America does without being judged. That's a standard procedure in God's heavenly code book. You do these kind of things, you have this coming. We can read it. It's right around the corner. How is going to do it? I'm not sure. I have suspicions. Because normally he takes down our gods. How many of you know how that goes? So when we worship something, no, God has somehow a problem with idol worship. You know that? So what do you think Americans idol? Money, you got it. We're not going there. We're not going to tape this. Okay? No, people will call me and email me. What did these people say? Our God in America is money. And the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, to be exact. But yeah. So, God will take it down. And then what else do you have? Not much. Okay. When you interpret things God's way, you are safe and soundly standing on solid ground, knowing that while the time is not in our hands, and we can know for sure, we know when he moves, because he makes an announcement before he moves. By the way, that's biblical. God will do nothing unless he reveals it to his people. He makes his announcement right here. So don't go into lousy interpretations. Biblical interpretation is much better. Why is that so important? You say, Pastor, do you have an axe to grind with something or with someone? No, go with me to the last book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 22, which is the last chapter. Thank you. And there the Apostle John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is penning these words. Verse 18 and following. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. Listen to that. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. How many of you would like to apply? You don't want these things. He goes on to say, and if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Because there are also good promises in there. He who testifies these things says, surely, I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. How would you interpret that when the Lord Jesus said, I'm coming quickly? I don't think he's going with his Swiss watch. That was 2,000 years ago. But once these things start unfolding, they may go faster than you and I can ever imagine. I challenge you this morning to think just a brief minute on where this nation, as a nation, has gone, how quickly it has changed. How many of you have to agree with me? It has changed so fast we can hardly keep up. What we are experiencing today, I would never have believed you if you had told me 10 years ago it will happen. I would have said, that's impossible. The American people are smarter than that. They will never let that happen. Here we are, facing things. So when God starts moving, things can move absolutely quickly. So when God makes the announcement here, we know. The question is, why does God make an announcement? Could he just say, enough is enough, guys? Poof, I wipe them out. Why? Why does God make an announcement? Is he obligated? No. It's in the famous verse you guys always quote, John 3:16. Do you know what that says? That he did what? Or is God having pleasure just to kill the people? That's Satan doing. God wants everybody to come to a place where they understand what he has prepared for that. This is what Peter, in 2 Peter, is writing, chapter 3. As he brings together all the things that we should mock when God is waiting. But he has a plan, he has a master plan, he has a timing. And he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Question, do all come to repentance? Would God love to see it happening? Yes. That's what it says. Why does he make the announcement? So people have time to repent. What did God say to Noah when he had to build the ark? He preached to the people. He told them what's coming. God made an announcement. Did the people like it, what he said? No, they laughed. Do you think people have changed much? No, they. But we evolved, my friends. We are so much smarter than our grandfathers. I'm not so sure about that statement. I never forget, and I said that once before from the pulpit. My dad graduated in seventh grade. In those days, they graduated early. And when I went to college and I wanted to impress him how good I am with mathematics and algebra and all these new things which he had never heard of, he just sat me down and said, son, let me tell you about something. Give me any mathematical formula where you need to have the result. And obviously I wanted to trap him. So I gave him something and he gave me the number. I said, how did you know? He said, when we went to school, we learned something. That was the end of discussion. I never challenged my dad again. I thought in 7 years, you can't learn much. I think in 7 years, they learn much more than we learn in 20 years today. They actually went to study. So much for evolving. That's why I wear these glasses. I'm getting better at it. We get better and better. You have similar problems, don't you? Let's look at verse 12, chapter 6. We have a lot of ground to cover. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. The first thing we learn here, God will shake the earth. He will shake it. This is not just another earthquake. This is the Greek word, the megas, is where we get the word mega from. You know, mega, big. If you go to Europe, they all speak different languages. They're French, German, Italian, Spanish, you name it. But they know one word, mega. Almost everybody has it in their language. I don't know, it's a Greek word, but mega. They want to say it's big. So when the Holy Spirit says to John, use the word megas, tell him it's going to be a big quake. It is a quake the whole world will notice. So it's not a local incident. It's not the greatest quake the world will ever see. There's a bigger one coming. That's further back in the book of Revelation. But this is a big one. And when God shakes it, everybody, according to what we read, will notice it. No one on earth will miss that message. The announcement God will make here will be clearly understood by the entire world population. The second thing that will happen is found in the second part of that verse. The sun became black, a sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. That's what I would call we will experience a total blackout. Remember what I said earlier about the four blood moon predictions? But the sun needs to be black too. And how many would have to say you may miss the moon, the blood moon, when you sleep at night, and others are seeing it somewhere, but you will not miss that earthquake. That one you will not miss. And what does an earthquake do? I've been to one in California. It's such a great feeling. You feel helpless, nowhere to go. It just goes, you know? And you stand there, so what should I do? How many of you have seen those videos when the Nepal, they have some incredible videos on YouTube when the earthquake happened, and you can see people panicking, running out of the high-rise buildings in Kathmandu, that's the capital city, and running into the streets. And one of the biggest, beautiful, most rewarding picture I've seen is they're running out in Kathmandu into a huge, round, circular garden in the center of the city. And there was one of the, you know, they have millions of statues. You know, they're worshiping all kinds of gods. And that was one of those statues, the god sitting there on that big thing. And as the camera is rolling, the earthquake shakes everything. People running out, going into the in the center of that garden. And there comes toppling down their god. And I thought, Lord, you have such a humor. You know, I read that in the Bible once. They did that with Dagon, you know. They had to put him back up, you know, when he fell out. When the Ark of the Covenant came into his presence, he couldn't stand God's presence. When God shakes, everybody moves. There was panic everywhere. So when this earthquake happens, everybody is panicking. And you say, well, you know, I'm waiting for that big one. I really wait because then the clock starts ticking and I can hardly wait. Well, don't wait for it. It may shake here in Iowa too. We don't know. You know? How do we know? Because everybody's going to feel it. Okay? Not unusual when God is shaking the earth or when God does a whole blackout. He can do anything. Let's go with me to Exodus chapter 10. One of the plagues when God set his people free was what? In Egypt. What did he do? Darkness, blackout, total blackout. That's when God starts dealing, which gives us a little bit the hint. God is about ready to take his people home, and he's going to give the world a little bit an experience. Here is Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 to 23. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt. This is so dark, you can feel it. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. How in the world did God do that? You want to explain that? Goshen is the only place light. People go about their business like usual. But all Egypt is in darkness. So much darkness that you can feel the darkness. That can only be explained one way. God's doing it. That's the only way that you can explain that. Already happened. Not unusual for God to do so. In Matthew chapter 27, when Jesus is hanging on the cross, it is so precisely written out for all of us so we don't misunderstand it. Now from the sixth hour, by the way, the Jewish people started counting. The first hour was when? 6 o'clock in the morning. That's when most of you are still sleeping. 6 o'clock in the morning. It's the first hour. That means they got going. So the sixth hour would be noon. Until the ninth hour. That means till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Probably the time when the sun is shining the brightest. Wouldn't you say so? Between noon and 3 o'clock. There was darkness over all the land in Israel. There was darkness because the Son of God was hanging there. And God said, I make an announcement to you guys. You're in that darkness. But when he paid the price and it is done, he's going to be the light of the world. What was darkness? God did that miraculously. By the way, when he came out of the grave, what happened? Earthquake happened, just a little minor thing, just enough to open up the graves. How many of you, if you would drive down on 69 right here, and there's a little earthquake, and all of a sudden you see those gravestones moving, and people start walking out of there, right here on the left when you go south? How many of you would have to say, I'm out of here? This is crazy. That actually literally happened. God can do anything. When that megaquake happens here, the Bible says the sun and the moon will not give up their lights. And the answer from a geological aspect is pretty simple. Earthquakes have a tendency to shift the tectonic plates. That's why earthquakes occur. And when those big tectonic plates push pressure against one another, one of them has to give. And normally what happens is what this geologist call a volcanologist say, it's a subduction of a tectonic plate. One of them moves down, the other one moves over the top, and that's when it shakes. An earthquake is not something where it goes boom, boom, boom. An earthquake is a pressure that goes underneath the earth. And if you ever have been in an earthquake, it is amazing to watch when you stand on solid concrete and all of a sudden the concrete buckles a foot or two and it goes like a wave, like a snake would be underneath there. And when it's all done, the concrete broke and things break. There's a pressure wave underneath what you think is solid, not so solid. And the pressure keeps on going. If you watch an earthquake in the desert, it is phenomenal to watch. It looks like an ocean wave, but it's sand. It goes like this and just moves. The pressure just moves and moves and moves. And eventually when that pressure hits something like where you have a ring of fire connection, poof, you have a volcano going. It literally blows the top off. We have a picture to show you. That top just blew off in Peru the other day. A volcano. That's the picture. How many of you would like to have been there? Maybe a little bit further away. What you see here is on your right, these thick plumes of smoke and ashes that comes out of that volcano. What you see all around it is looks like lightning. This is actually the heat that comes from the volcano, from the heart of the volcano, which we know as magma. When it charges up the air, the oxygen, it gets so hot that it ignites. And this is what you see. Scientists tell us when a volcano, just one, blows up, and you see this kind of display, if they could harness that power, the United States of America would have enough electricity for a whole year. That's how much power there is. God just saying, why don't you just blow up for a second? Show what I can do. When this great earthquake happens, you're going to see this all over the world. And what you think, people will say, nice display, must be 4th of July. Oh no, people run for cover because there's nowhere to hide. If you're close, it burns you alive. And that's only God's announcement. The real thing has not even gone yet any further. This is when God just said, I'm going to start dealing with you guys. And needless to say, when you look at this, there's no sunlight. Because there's hundreds of thousands of tons of ash being put up into the atmosphere. 40, 50,000 feet up. And that is where the jet stream is moving from the west to the east. We'll take all these particles and move them all the way around the globe. And we'll block the sunlight. And the moon will look a little dim. It depends where you are. This is just after a day of eruption. The dust that settles from the cloud on this beautiful rose. I thought I'd show you this, how that looks like. Scientists tell us if the Yosemite at the Yellowstone, not the Yosemite, the Yellowstone would blow up, Iowa would be covered with 1 to 2 feet of ash. Get your shovels ready. would be amazing, wouldn't it? We don't know. Well, that's only the beginning. He only shook the earth. This is what you're going to see. Then in verse 13, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Not one, but stars, plural. And John said, these guys just dropped like figs from a tree when it is shaken. On February 15, 2013, that's 2 years ago, a series of explosions in the sky over Russia shook the entire region, the Ural region, because there was a meteor shower going through it that caused huge panic in three major cities. Here is what they say. That just happened. Quote, a meteor that exploded over Russia was 30 times brighter than the sun. Think about it. With the force of 40 Hiroshima atom bombs, said scientists. Like 40 atomic bombs topping all at once. The 60 feet wide missile exploded in a fireball above the city of Chelyabinsk in February 15, causing damage up to 50 miles away. At its fastest, it was traveling at more than 40,000 miles an hour. Forget your car. This is speed. The space rock blew apart 18.5 miles above the city, briefly outshining the sun and inflicting severe burns on a number of observers below. Fortunately, the meteor came in at an angle to spread its energy sideways, creating less damage on the ground. If that thing would have come straight down, there would be nothing on the ground left. Peter Brown, a physics professor at the University of Western Ontario in Canada, has collected around 500 videos of the event, which injured around 1,500 people as glass windows shattered in the post-explosion shockwave. God says, when he makes the announcements, these things come not by one, not by pairs, like figs from a fig tree, all over the place. No wonder the world pays attention. Let's read. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. The earth will experience what I call a separation. I love these studies because there's a lot of science behind it, and it's absolutely incredible. John describes the separation between the earth and the atmospheric heaven surrounding the earth. The effects of the earthquake and the falling meteors will separate the atmospheric heaven. Huge implication, because when that happens, our magnetic field that shields the earth will be disturbed greatly. Where the South Pole is today, it will not be at the same spot. The North Pole will have moved. By the way, how much does the North Pole move right now per year? You don't know? Oh, you need to keep up on this. It's amazing what God is doing. Al Gore will be one day proven wrong. It's not global warming. God is shifting the poles. It's getting colder. Not the next week. Next week is going to be nice and warm. But in general, it's getting colder because the poles are shifting. The pole shifting right now is about 40 miles per year going towards Siberia the other way around. You can read it up. It's fascinating what God is doing. When this happens, the magnetic field will change. That means the correlation, the connection between the heavenly bodies in our solar system are going to be in the trajectory moved. And when John saw it, it looked like somebody took a scroll and rolled it up. But he looked and it was heaven. It was the earth. God only did that once before, during Noah's flood. The whole earth was surrounded with water. You can read it in the book of Revelation, Genesis. Was surrounded by water. And it was a protective mechanism so that the human beings on this planet did not get the ultraviolet radiation from the sun, which makes you age so fast. It's always amazing how you go on vacation to Florida to lay on the sun to die earlier. I don't get it, but that's what people do. I like Iowa. It's nice, you know. Do you recognize in Iowa people get pretty old? I'm a candidate, you know. When God said, I flood the whole earth, that water protection came down to this earth. Next to all the fountains from the bottom opened up and flooded. There was no way to go on a mountain hike thinking that you are going to outturn the flood that's going to come. It came so fast and furious, only the one who was in the ark made it. The rest was done. So much for a little local flood. When this happens, the magnetic field changes. And oh boy, we're in trouble. It could be, I'm not an expert, but it could be that all your cell phones don't work anymore. It could be. It could be that your GPS doesn't work because the satellites running up there making that all happen. And when the magnetic field changes, these satellites somehow have a mind on their own. They're going somewhere else. Not going to work. So when God makes this announcement, he said, I'm going to restore everything on this planet. And I make it ready for my son. And he will rule with righteousness. How many of you are happy you don't need any cell phones at home anymore? We communicate with God without that stuff. You don't have to spend all this time on TV either. Isn't that great? It will not work. God will just bring that meteor shower down, make a separation of the magnetic field of this earth atmospheric umbrella that goes around the earth, and every island will move out of its place. Every mountain. I've said that before. We are sitting on tectonic plates. God created it that way, by the way. And these tectonic plates, yeah, you're not sitting on solid ground like you think. You're actually a passenger right now. Yeah, you're sitting on the, like a U-ship. You're sitting on that tectonic plate. And you know what we're floating on top? On top of magma. 12 to 1800 degrees hot. And so we're floating there. And then this magnetic field changes, they all will shift. And since every mountain is also a free passenger on a tectonic plate, when everything shifts, the mountains move out of their places too. Everything shifts. All the measurements which we use today to measure where they are exactly geographically will not fit. Everything will have been moved. And God just does that with an announcement. And then the world will say, praise God. God finally takes care of all the wicked ones. No. The earth will be filled with idol worshippers at that time. Yeah. I'm not saying that. God says that. Look at Revelation 6:15, 16, and 17. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commandment, the mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. There are seven categories mentioned here of men. How many of you know that number seven in the Bible is a number of completion? The whole world. So instead of making it right with God and repenting before God, what do? They build bunkers. Caves. Could also be translated bunkers. They build bunkers. Kings will do that. Great men will do that. Rich men will do that. Chief captains, mighty men, bondmen, free men. They all will do it. And what does every government in the world do to hide all the equipment, to move everything militarily? They carve out mountains. We got some mountains in the United States of America. They're hollow inside. Yeah. I grew up in Switzerland. You know these beautiful mountains we sell you as visitors to go and hike on it? Inside, they're hollow. We have airplanes going like out of an airplane carrier, going right straight out of the mountains. If you go in Switzerland, central Switzerland, you can see them coming. The F-16's coming out of nowhere. Poof, and you say, where did that guy come from? He just came out of the mountain. Then you see an airfield outside. They go land, they go underneath on the bottom. There's a huge elevator, brings them back up. Boom, we catapult them right out of there again. The Bible says that's what man will do. They will try to live in the mountain saying, I'm safe from it. But the problem is God shakes the mountains. Then look what these people do instead of repenting. They say, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. How do they know it was God? How do they know? I'm always saying, why do people say, may God bless you, when they say, there's no God? I don't get it. Why do they say, the wrath of the Lamb of God, when they say, there is no such thing? We tell the whole world in our educational system that there is no God, and all of a sudden we say, this is God's wrath upon man. How come? I can tell you. I give you the answer. It is written in the hearts of every one of you. On the tablet of your heart is written the law of God. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. You do. But rather than man repenting, man goes on a rebellious streak, tries to hide from God. Now, how old is that? Adam did that. How we have evolved. Man, have we gotten better. In the first book, Adam hides. God said, where are you, guy? Where are you? Oh, I'm always hiding. I know. The last book, what does man do? Hide from God. We haven't learned anything. 6,000 years later. How does that work? Does it work out well for them? How did it work out for Adam? No. You know, man in general refuses to repent. Only this time when God makes the announcement, you can't claim ignorance. No one in the planet can say, I did not know that God made this announcement. Everyone will know. The Bible says the whole world, the people will say, fall on us, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. How often God pleads with man to repent? A man does what? Hide? Hide? Some of you are hiding in church, thinking if I go to church, God will not find me. In some churches, he'll not find you because he's not there. But here he is. No place to hide here. My challenge for all of you in here, wherever you are, don't try to hide from God. He already knows where you are. May as well make it right. Don't go hide. I've said it before and I will tell you again. There is no secure place than under the shadow of the wings of God Almighty. Hide in him. That's the only safe place you and I have. And when these things all unfold, either God takes us home or... How many of you know God can protect us through it? Some of you want to be out of here by that time. That's okay. I understand. I didn't have to wait for that before I told the Lord the first time, please take me out of here. I had enough of that stuff. But maybe we are going to experience some of these things. And we better be hidden in Christ, because that's where the safety is. Our challenge is not to wait for the announcement. You just got the announcement. God wants you to come to him. If you have never accepted the Lord Jesus personally, today is your day. It is. Don't hide. Today is your day. If you have walked away from him because you thought this is nothing but a bunch of religious stuff, which I have nothing to do with it, you may have been introduced to that, but today you have been introduced to the Lord God Almighty who shakes heaven and earth. Our God is not for destruction. Our God is for restoration. How many of you know that? But in order to bring that restoration, he has to purge this whole world of wickedness. Because the Bible says the day will come when Jesus comes back and rules and reigns with his people, and righteousness shall dwell on this earth. No room for wickedness. And God will do away with it. But until that day, you have a chance to come to the Lord on your own and say, Lord, I need you. I really do. Let's bow our heads. Spend a minute or two, just you and the Lord. Heavenly Father, I love your word, Lord, because it is so precise. It is so incredibly beautifully detailed in everything you are, in everything you do. No second guessing. We don't need to go into areas where you are silent, except to be silent. We want to speak in those areas where you speak and let the whole world know. You are such an awesome and mighty God. Today, Lord, we learned, yes, you have created all things and you are in control of all things, and all things consist because of you. And you still have time to look down at each one of us. Call us to be one of yours. May, Lord, none of the people here this morning will leave without making sure they are yours. I thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts, for shaping us, breaking us, and making us new. Hunger, Lord, spiritual hunger, which you give us, can only be satisfied by your manna from heaven, your word. Speak to our hearts each day. When this world around us goes crazy, may we have the peace that truly passes all understanding. For it, we give you thanks, praises, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people can say, amen. Amen.